Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. Want to invite you out to this year's third annual Rock Paper Podcast birthday show being held July 1st, 7 p.m. over at the Firebird in St. Louis, Missouri. This year's lineup includes Hounds, the Royal Furs, Forgetting January, and Bald Eagle Mountain, hosted by comedian John Venegoni. We'll have Gorilla Street Food also there, sling up some delicious meals from their food truck, and sponsored by Four Hands Brewery. So local music, local food, local beer, and local venue. So it's going to be a great time. Come on out. $8 in advance, $10 day of show, and we're going to have a great time. I'm really, really excited about this, and we can't wait to see you there. All details can be found at rockpaperpodcast.com or firebirdstl.com. Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. We'll talk about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them over at the Dot Zach building in the Grand Center area. They have a beautiful record store located right here in St. Louis. And you can come out each and every Friday. They have new records in store. This week, June 16th, new records in store from Royal Blood, Jason Isbell, Big Star, John Coltrane, and a whole lot more. Also, they do these like all-day listening parties over there. You can get 15% off purchases, free beer from Urban Chestnut, and all kinds of other things going on. So feel free to come by anytime, but Fridays are new records, and you can find the full listing at musicrecordshop.com. Shop online 24/7 there. Be sure to follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio, it's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hammer Family Medicine, you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Oh my God, David did something.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with the guys of Family Medicine. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey!
You guys want to go around the mic and properly introduce yourselves for those listening?
Hey, I'm Joe, I play guitar.
I'm Jonathan, I do vocals.
David, I play drums.
My name's Chris, I play bass.
This is first time we're really all getting to hang out. I've seen the name a little bit. I've known Chris a little bit through social media mostly.
You're pretty popular on Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, you always got the jokes on there.
Thank you.
They make me laugh.
Thank you. Finally.
You made a self-loathing joke?
Somebody appreciates me.
This is what's a lot of fun for me with the show, is just to kind of get a chance to get to hang out with all these bands around town and get to know more about you guys and the music and stuff. And so where does Family Medicine get started? Where are you guys, how long you guys been at this now?
Joe and I have been playing music together for years, so we're old heads, so we go way back. We were in a band called City and Sky some years back. And I don't know, you played with David before me or what?
Yeah. It's like going back to like 2005, 2006 or something like that.
Right before that.
First started playing some bands, like high school bands, yeah. Those kind of things.
So like we've all played together. Well, the three of us have played together, been playing together for years. And this particular band, Joe and David were writing shit together, and then Joe asked me to come play bass for it, and we wrote stuff without vocals for a while. And David, I don't know how you met Jonathan.
I met Jonathan at this dude Caleb's birthday party at a bar one night, and we liked a lot of the same music, and I was like, hey, let's play, what's good? And then like a month later, passed him some chords.
That was perfect. Yeah, we had tried another band together,
and it didn't work.
But
let's not talk about that.
First time Jonathan came to practice, he came, did his thing or whatever, and then, like, David and Joe were super duper stoked about it. And I was like, let's not add this motherfucker to the group.
Fuck
chat.
That guy. Wait, let's
fucking think about this.
Chris didn't like me.
And then he let's do it again. And yeah. He's like, okay.
It grew on me.
This is good.
Yeah. I saw the vision.
What, so you guys now have a record ready to go. This will be, it's available, I guess, everywhere now on iTunes and everything.
Yeah, the digitally.
But we're working on a physical release for July. So I was listening, and what, I don't know, how do you guys, what are we like, I saw like some of the tags on the band camp, like hardcore punk and emo or something like. How do you guys call the sound?
I don't know if we call it anything really. Yeah. We just kind of take whatever people want to give to us. Like, there's a guy. My favorite comparison is we played a demo and Jacob was just like, "You guys remind me of Converge." Like one specific album, "You Fail Me." And at that point, I had never listened to Converge at all. And that's like, all right, I better go check it out. And it, you know, obviously pretty sweet. So felt pretty good about that comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we just write what comes out. And then, we, like you're saying, we take what other people call us, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I just say loud.
Yeah. When people ask us, we sound like loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we really ever had, like, a certain thing. I just call it. Whatever.
It's just literally like what we shit out. Yeah, like, I mean, you don't like think about anything when we're playing it.
I think I like, yeah, because like the way our writing process is, I don't know if you could really say, like, because Joe will come with parts, David and I will add on to it and argue for like days and days on how to like get this fucking song perfect. And I also think that's why they come out the way they do. Like, I don't really think they sound like anything specifically.
Right.
And I think that's pretty cool. I'd like to think it's more like a bear versus shark at the drive-in sort of thing. That's what I think. But I mean, these guys listen to a lot more bands than I do.
Yep. I did listen to the record, and one thing that caught my attention was all the song titles, and they made me laugh. Just all the silly names that you guys have for these.
Oh, man. Funny story. That's not even all of the names, the titles are actually longer than that.
Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah. it happened to be like a nice little mistake, which is cool, because like we don't actually say the name titles all the way through, but the titles are actually even longer than actually what is saying on there. And it's just really just jokes in the end. The songs have nothing to do with the song titles in general. I just think of like the most longest, stupidest thing ever, and that's like that's the song title kind of thing. But like, yeah, it's like
front porches.
I left the front porch light on and the back door unlocked. It's just we call it front porch. It's You Caught Me Doing Naked Yoga is actually the full title of that one, or Knitting Naked As I Masturbate is another one like that. It's just they're just stupid song titles. Well, some of them are short, but the other ones are like that. Like Wayne Winslow's, I'm Glad You're Sober, Wayne Winslow. And that was just because I messed up by calling Carl's Winslow, Wayne's Winslow. And so it was just the nephew that got kicked out of the family. Yeah.
It's
Carl's cousin.
String of happy accidents became song titles.
All right.
But again, I have like nothing to do with the song, so don't ever take to like the song title and be like, I don't know what this has to do with doing naked yoga, because it doesn't have anything to do with naked yoga.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I guess they're all sexual innuendos in the end of it, though, if I think about it.
Sexual innuendos in the end of it.
Fucking candlesticks it.
Right.
Shut off. I remember Joe tried to get, like, Knitting Naked, like, on the point or some shit like that.
No, Dick Chicken.
Dick Chicken.
Oh, yeah, Dick Chicken. Yeah. I forgot about Dick Chicken, yeah. That was taken from The League, the TV show The League, though.
Yeah.
They were talking about Dick Chicken, and I thought that was hilarious.
Never watched an episode.
You're
very
lucky.
Yeah,
probably
great show.
I probably would.
Yeah.
I think that should be the next song. The sequel was I Forgot About Dick Chicken.
Dick Chicken. Fuck out of Dick Chicken. Forgot about those locker room games.
Like I said, we got the record. It's... So all over your digital platforms right now. It's titled "The Truth Is I've Lost Touch with All Those Who Care About Me," and that's a pretty long title.
That actually has to do with the lyrics.
Completely. Yeah, actually. So like the song titles have nothing to do with it, but the title of the album actually is supposed to entwine all the songs together, kind of stuff like that.
Okay.
So it's very fast and aggressive, but it's a very dark matter album for sure. It's definitely a really dark time in my life is what most of those lyrics are all from too. So like it's supposed to be like as in like envision like that I'm an angry drunk at a bar, and that's like even vocally that's how it's like structured too, where it's just like it's almost like it. The words are just mashed together, and like it's, the voicing of it is like it's not like really singing or screaming. It's more of like if you just imagine like you're like at a local dive bar, it's like an angry drunk trying to like mash together words to make up some reason why he's a terrible person, and you know why he's going through, and why you know he's taking that extra shot of whiskey that he should not be taking before he slams his head on the bar and passes out, kind of thing. So
I don't think you're a terrible person, Jonathan.
Thanks.
A terrible person?
I said I don't think he's a terrible person.
But yeah, so that it really does push a lot. That's the title itself has a lot to do with that title. Has a lot to do with all of it too. So
You guys wanted to share a couple of tunes. You said Galapagos. You guys, anything around that song you guys care to share?
Heavy.
Yeah.
That's the lyrics of that one.
It's like hands down, like I think my favorite song. I remember like specifically like the day like we were writing that song. There's something about it. It really hits the music hits home a lot with me. And to know like the lyrics are like a big deal. Like I really like playing that song.
Mm-hmm.
Wash the dirt from your
Where'd you guys end up recording the record at?
We decided to go to New Jersey to record with a friend of ours, Adam Kichaki.
Sorry, Adam.
Adam Kichaki.
Timber Studios.
Yeah, Timber Studios, New Jersey. He's the drummer of a band called Gatherers. They came through St. Louis, and like Jonathan showed me, like literally we're at practice, he asked, he was like, yeah, check out this band Gatherers or whatever. And I think they had just come through at some point with Every Time I Die, and like I saw that they were playing at the demo, and I was like, I gotta get us on that fucking show. And like got us on there. It was like literally, it was our second show ever. And
let's talk about
the
show.
Worst fucking show we've ever played, I think. I had some new pedal, and it was just like squealing the entire time, and it was just awful. But Adam, like, you know, talked to us after that and like wanted us to come out to Jersey because, you know, he was into whatever we were doing. I think he saw, like, through all the terribleness of our set. But we also, like, wanted to record outside of St. Louis because, like, I don't know, like, shade to, like, all the engineers, like, in the area. But I just feel like, to me personally, the stuff that comes out of this area all kind of has the same sound. And I just, me personally, just wanted to kind of get away from that and, like, go somewhere and record. So I think it really, like, I think that shows.
It wasn't just the sound. It kind of, like, took us out of our element, too. And it, you know, like, out of our comfort zone. So
sure,
we would have definitely recorded a different album if we were here.
Yeah, so, I believe that.
Well, yeah, you hear a lot of those stories. I mean, not that's obviously way different, but you hear stories of, like, something like a Sun Studio in Nashville or whatever, and these different things, like, where there's, like, there's just, like, a presence about this studio, yeah, where it's, like, you know, you get in there and it just, the inspiration hits of different stuff, and so, yeah, there's, you know, something, this might have inspired something completely different than if you would have done something here in town.
I think the atmosphere, like, we went to Timber, like, it was great. Like, Adam, like, made the experience awesome, and he just, like, knows his shit, man. Like, he
got the best out of him.
Yeah,
for sure. Definitely pushed, for sure.
Yeah.
Because I went out, like, a separate time, and then I had to stay back. I had to stay back when they went out to record, but I went out there on the second time out, and I swear, that man pushed me. I was like, ah, in a really good way. Like, I felt like, man, this sounds great. He's like, that sounds great, but I know you can do it a little bit better. So, and this time, let's try to enunciate a word that I might have, like, rambled over. And that's just me because, I mean, sometimes, like, you know, like, in that presence, I'm nervous. And then I'm like, I might have forgot a word. So I kind of, like, ramble it on. And he's like, that's the word, and let's do it. And then it was great because, like, it was, like, I think the first day was, like, 5 or 6 hours of me, like, just screaming into a microphone. And I must say that I am tired of hearing my voice after 5 minutes. So for someone to sit there for 6 hours listening to me just keep going and going, I give him a lot more credit than.
I like how you said like 5 minutes as if that were a short amount of time to just talk. You know, if you just try to talk for 5 minutes, that's a long time to hear your own voice.
Yeah,
just stop doing that to yourself. But no, like Adam, a lot of the second guitar work, the second guitar leads or whatever, Adam played those, like, he just has an ear for this, and, like, I feel like he really helped us, like, make this album sound, like, make it stand out. Now I'm gonna go see it, like,
dude. I feel like back your bass, dude.
Whatever, dude.
That sounds good.
But let me see what I can do. Actually, Adam recorded the whole, we gave him the tabs, and then he just went out, went in there, and just recorded it all for us. I actually didn't personally go out there; he did it all for me.
I don't think I ever said the word lit until I met Adam. After that, everything was lit.
Everything
lit. After fucking being out there.
Yep. Well, that's cool. Plus I think that probably that whole experience, I mean, obviously Jonathan saying that you joined later on, but just the, I mean, imagine that experience of just getting away to just going, you know, as a band and kind of making an adventure out of it, you know, getting that chance to kind of bond as a group and stuff too. And
going on the train to Times Square and all of us, like the three of us just being like,
lost as
wow.
fuck.
This is not St. Louis. So right. Just cheese it. It was,
yeah.
It was pretty nice.
Yeah. But yeah, that sounds cool, man. I think that'd be a lot of fun to do something like that.
Yeah. Well, I want to go back, dude. I can't. We've got enough material now. We're going to start working on recording the next record or the next album. That would, you know, we're throwing around places. I would love to go back to Timber. I would suggest anyone, like, in St. Louis or around here, be able to check out that studio for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But we were thinking about, like, we want this next record to have, like, a different sound. Like, a completely different, like, feel to it. So going somewhere else might be in the cards, too. We're just looking around right now.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be happening. It's part of the reason why we have so much time, like so few shows right now, because we're just trying to write and get the ideas straight.
Yeah. Did you guys have a lot of this record like pretty tight as when you guys went in and just laid these tracks, or a lot of these come to life in the studio?
Yeah, I think even like when I joined, because I think they would have been going for what, 2-3 months by that point.
Yeah.
Like as a three piece, they were still going at that, like getting it all down. And I think when I joined, we went like another 2 or 3 months before we even played our first show.
Like any real changes between like what we had written, what we recorded, were probably vocally, because I don't know if those were, you know, if everything was like completely set just yet. But yeah, like we definitely we worked on a lot of stuff and got it tight before we went out there.
So. Yeah, vocally, I think a lot of it was kind of like when we was there, because like I had like all the words written down. I had usually had like this like the way I would do it to a certain point, but like I think we kind of like, well, personally for me, I think I just kind of like for the longest time I was just really excited to be being back in a band again, and so I was just like, just yell as long as you can until you can't anymore, and then you stop, and then you take a little breath, and then you do it again, but make it sound really catchy. And I think when I finally went out in there, and when I went to go do it, I think I finally like was able to structure it enough to where like it was actually on the certain points, it's like certain hits where it was actually more impactful than it was just being, you know, me just running around drunkenly, just, you know, running into people and just yelling into a microphone for, I'm pretty sure that's what it was, but at least, you know, at least 4 or 5 months of it until I really figured it out.
So
like,
I didn't want to add you to the group chat right away, man. This guy's not right.
But I mean, yeah, so it definitely was more like when I got there, we really worked out the structure, and I was able to take the time to think and like be like, oh, this is kind of like, you know, because I mean I always, for myself even personally, even as the vocalist, I see vocals as like background to like everything else, so like everything else comes before, like the structuring of like the guitars, the drums and bass come before the vocals. I will eventually just figure it out, like, you know what I mean, like I'll soon enough put it into place to where I think it sounds good. So but I mean, yeah, that's definitely, I mean, so definitely when I got out there, I did like put the thought process in, but act like I know
the thought process.
The thought process.
THOT.
Thought process behind it to actually be like, okay, cool, but I made it look like I knew what I, like I've been doing this for like a minute too, so like this is where I wanted it.
Right.
Sure.
Not.
Yeah.
Where's the name, Family Medicine come from anyway?
That's a good question.
I'll tell you, buddy.
The first band me and Joe were in a long, 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 long time ago. One of the guitarists' dad had a practice.
Yeah.
And he was wearing a shirt that said Family Medicine. And we liked it, but nobody in that band, I don't think, liked it. Or
right,
I forget
right.
why. We didn't use it for that band. But like years later, we kind of had that name. But we were called Over.
Yeah,
for like
a
week,
second.
And then me and Joe and Chris were really drunk at Big Daddy's of all places, and we were like in the group chat telling the singer that sang on one song one time at a practice that we had before Jonathan that we changed the name to Family Medicine, and he didn't like it, so that didn't matter then. But that's, yeah, so it came off of a t-shirt from years, 15 years ago.
Right,
like,
yeah.
It was probably
2002 or something.
Which is quite hilarious because, like, we've gotten Facebook, like,
yeah.
from, like, 65-year-old men and women from, like, the East Coast, like, all the way across, that think that we're probably actually
yeah.
a doctor's office. Which is funny because I'm pretty sure our profile pic is still a picture of
No.
Two of us in our underwear?
No,
not anymore.
No, not anymore. No, but yeah, like,
you
I was...
take off your clothes at the
doctor's. Right, I know, but like, what do you see, like, just four men lined up and like I think it was the one with the head shaking.
Yeah.
So, and then here's
well, this
me.
Is definitely a doctor's office.
Yeah. He with me with my bare chest and just in my underwear with, you know, the power of the bulge going. Like, you
this
know,
doctor's office is lit.
Yeah, I think we have like 480 something likes and like 400 of them are just people that think
yeah.
they're doctors.
Yeah.
What? I would, a while back, you know, I talked to like Talk and about like how their band name is TOK, which is also like the abbreviation of the Tokyo Airport and stuff. And so it's like we kind of talked about how being, you know, just Googleable, and, you know, like people have to be able to search for your name.
Right.
And I imagine they get a lot of that. Like you're just like you're saying, is like people searching for family medicine, and you're going to get kicked up a lot of Walgreens or whatever. All these.
I don't know where we're at on that list.
Yeah,
you know, when you type in family medicine under Google, like I wonder if we're like maybe ninth.
I don't know.
Okay.
Find out. Yeah. I think that that's where you just got to like type in band afterwards.
Right.
Yeah, we're definitely one of those bands. We got to type in band afterwards.
Yeah, we're definitely.
There's
one of those
also
bands.
Other bands that like are close to family
sure.
medicines too, though, like hippie jam bands that are, like come up on the search.
It fits our suit, but honestly, when I joined, I really thought that like you guys named the band after it, and I thought it was like kind of goofy but yet like quite funny. Was that because you're a nurse and you're a cardiac sonographer in the medical field? I was like, oh, that's funny, we've got like two like medical people in the band, so we called ourselves
Family
Medicine.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Why would we know?
No.
Well, we gotta change the name now.
Alright guys, I'm 5 pages in and still but let me type in band though and see what happens.
Yeah. 6 pages in now.
Yeah.
First, if you type in Family Medicine Band, it's the first thing that pops up.
Oh,
nice.
Shit.
Band camp, right?
There it is. So we got to make sure that happens when we are Googled.
We'll just change our name to Family Medicine Band.
That like, even sounds more hippie.
Right. They'll have to say Family Medicine Band.
Yeah, man, that guy was really crazy on those electric organs.
I'm relegated to playing bongos, covering myself in patchouli.
I gave a bust on my tie-dye shirts that I have.
You guys also wanted to share, kind of mentioned earlier there, the Wayne Winslow, and anything different with this song besides heavy?
I have
this
awesome bass.
This one's really heavy for me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I wrote a great bass line for Chris.
Shut up.
And he plays it.
Hell.
The cement block that brings you down to the ocean bed.
What do you mean it's heavy for you?
It's a David song. I wrote it for David.
Yeah, that song's about me.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was like, I don't know how much I can...
Didn't write a song about us.
Tell. Like, right. I'm sorry, guys. When I met David, he was in the middle of, you know, like divorce and stuff like that. And me and him were growing really close and stuff. And I just, you know, I kind of was going through my own thing at the same time. And I feel like there was like some like weird like interconnection kind of like feelings between us that I was able to like I was able to like write words out for him, like in a way to like, I guess, communicate like a certain feeling for him. So like, I mean, it was, that's, I mean, that's kind of what it come about. Was just definitely for, I mean, it's definitely a David song for sure.
Yeah, it was it's literally like you said, like it came from my brain at that time, like what I was going through and how it felt or whatever.
Yeah.
As loving and touchy as that feels, yeah, it was definitely like, I guess we were both like on like the same like dark wavelength, and then just like I could see that he couldn't really figure out how to say it, so fuck it, dude, I'll say it for you, yeah. Baby.
And now we hate each other.
Yeah, and now now we're not even friends. We barely see each other. So,
well, you can come see these guys live June 19th at the Sinkhole. Right here in St. Louis, Missouri. And you said Mariner on that?
The Sinkhole Mariner and then...
Florence and Normandy. Florida? They're on a tour with Glass Girl as well. So there's also a band called Glass Girl that we play. So,
nice. Sinkhole.
Yeah, Sinkhole's really awesome. If you guys have never been there, you should play there.
Yeah. And we're shooting for a... end of July release party.
Shooting for it. We're hoping the vinyl will be in like middle of the month or something like that. And then, you know, once we get it in, it's just up to us having a show.
Yeah.
But hopefully, we're hoping, looking at the 29th, hopefully, like yeah. In the month.
So, yeah, that's all the Bandcamp. You guys are, you can purchase the vinyl now and, I guess, pre-order the vinyl.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I thought that was cool. Like, I mean, especially you've seen a lot more vinyl come back. There's definitely been a resurgence, but you know, not a lot of local bands are doing vinyl. So I thought that was cool that you guys were doing that. So yeah,
I thought it was cool that we were doing it. It was like the first thing we ever put out. Like all the other bands I've been in, we just like put out like an EP or something like that at first. Kind of cool, kind of stupid. We just kind of like went all in.
Yeah.
We were like, fuck it, we're gonna make our first release. We're like, fuck tapes, fuck doing CDs, we're gonna do vinyl.
Yeah.
We went straight for the extreme.
Right.
Yeah.
We were like, we're a no name band from St. Louis, and you are gonna pay for
it. It's all fucking for me.
So, anyway, like 10 years from now, we're gonna have about 500 copies.
We will have sold 10 to our moms.
Yeah. I think my mom already pre ordered like.
Nice.
She doesn't even have a record.
Of course not, right.
Yeah. It's just to put on the walls.
We'll just buy each other our record for our birthday for
yeah,
the next 500 fucking years.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I can't wait to pull it in my hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something to be proud of for sure. Like, I'm a big vinyl fan myself, an enthusiast, if you will. Mm-hmm. I try to purchase about all I can on vinyl and when available, and I think it's neat also that you know, of course they come with the download cards now, so you can, you know, don't have to worry about trying to rip it or buy it twice or anything like that. It's already ready to go for you. Just gotta punch in the codes and stuff with a lot of them. And but you know, there's something about a vinyl record too, that just, you know, having the artwork and the liner notes and all the, you know, just more of an experience than just pressing play on Spotify or something.
Yeah.
So.
Do we have lyrics in there?
Yeah. It's actually the most like dreadful process too, because like it's they are a lot of grammar and spelling mistakes. I can't spell and I can't really like make a sentence completely cohesive without it somewhat being choppy and completely wrong.
I think
David and Joe and the guy who did our artwork, who's also in the Gatherers, Rich Weinberger.
Yep, sure.
Or Weinberg. I can't remember. I don't remember.
They all have
weird names. Cool name. Yeah. They're all cool. Where's mine?
Oh, I
don't
know.
Oh, that's cool.
Bogus ass.
I think that's like part of the part of the prerequisite to be in the gatherers. You gotta have a really cool last name.
My last name is far too basic to be in gatherers.
Yeah, so
Garner.
But yeah, like we've actually grown really close with those guys, and we've actually used a lot of their talents outside of their band to actually help with this record, as in like their vocalist did all of our album artwork with it, with Kelsey's Heirs.
Casket House Company
is
the name of their
art
project, I guess.
Yeah, so they did like the whole, and they did like the whole like front back, the pictures and all that stuff like that. And I think Matt made a promo video for us.
It's cool. All those dudes just like got involved, man. Like we ain't shit, you know.
Yeah.
We don't fucking know anybody, and they all just like
lend a helping hand.
Played a big part in like everything going on. Like shout out to those dudes for sure.
Yeah, you're cool. So what's next? I mean, when this record comes out, what are you guys? You said you're gearing up, you're writing for some new stuff.
We'll probably break up before then.
Yeah. And then we stop about. Yeah. We're going to put out two. Well, first, the plan is to get signed to Equalvision, put out two records, and then break up.
Yeah.
That's what all good bands on Equalvision do.
Then we'll see you guys all again in like
15,
20
something
years.
Like that.
Yeah, about
reunion tour.
Yeah, the reunion thing.
And I'd like to skip right to that. This whole local business. So let's just go ahead and get
straight to
the
small club reunion tour. Okay. Yeah. So
the truth is, 20th anniversary played in its entirety.
I feel like that's what the next record should be called anyway. The truth is, 20th anniversary.
The sad thing though is, like, we've been in band together like with both these guys since like 2002, 2003. Yeah. This is our first record we put out. There's so much music.
We're so old. We've been doing this for so long, and we're just now putting out vinyl.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
if you guys would have done it at the beginning, we would almost be at the 20th.
To
answer your question, we are writing stuff. We have like three or four new songs. Two of them we already play live. So we're probably going to record like a 5-song EP maybe next, something like that.
Yeah. Well, they're probably going to, our next album is going to be what we should have started with in the first place.
It's going to get a little easier.
I think we already got a title for it and everything.
I'm giving away, dude.
I'm not giving anything away. I'm just saying I already got a title for it, or I already got a song made for it. We're pretty much ready for it. I just don't know if they're ready for it, because we haven't even got the first one yet.
No.
The people.
The fans. The people.
All 430 of you that aren't looking for a doctor's
office.
Well, now you got to go rewrite. I forgot about Dick Chicken too. So there's
gotta write that one.
There's
now
a 6-track on that. So
I forgot about Dick Chicken.
I'll take a co-write on that.
We should have a song called Dick Chicken on every.
so no one knows which Dick Chicken.
Which Dick Chicken do you want to hear?
Yeah, right.
Brother? They've got 17 albums.
It's like horror movies. You know, just like there's like 10 sequels to it or whatever and stuff. There.
But we won't even numerically make them though. We'll just put Dick Chicken. It's Dick Chicken.
Just Dick. Yeah. No part two. No
That's what I'm saying. Just Dick Chicken.
Like we have a song called Potato Pancake Incident Part 1, but there's not going to be a part 2. You just keep looking for it.
How ironic.
Yeah.
Never thought about that. When they title shit Part 1, why?
Because it's
a two-parter.
Yeah, there's a two-part.
Yeah, but I mean, why do you give that away? Like, spoiler alert.
What if they're like 1 and 2 on the album? Like, it's like Part 2 is on the album.
What if we?
It's really it's our nod to R. Kelly.
trapped in the truth is.
Or was that one that the Ignition song remix? But it was there really a song called
Before
the remix?
Yeah, there was.
Holy shit! Mind blown.
Did you think about that? You're welcome.
I didn't think
you know
about
what?
That song is called The Remix to Ignition, and there isn't a song called Ignition.
I'm just saying.
Look.
Yeah.
There was.
Damn it!
Way to really stop me from blowing minds over here.
Sorry, guys.
Fuck me, Shane.
Cut that part out. I don't want to be known as a nerd for not knowing that.
I'll be the,
Was it an R. Kelly song, man?
Yeah.
He remixes it. I don't. Why do. No.
You're right.
I know it reminds me of something.
It's totally different, obviously, not remixed.
This is the original.
What it is. Girl, please let me stick my key in your ignition, babe. So I can get this
thing started
and
get going,
babe. No, yeah, there's no way.
I mean,
that just guy just says, hey, my name is
Arkell. Okay, I'm just saying, Arkell is about to own your podcast.
Excuse me.
It's from that first note.
You only got 30 seconds.
Yeah.
That's, fuck yeah! I've never even heard that song.
Yeah,
so.
But I'm glad I did.
Yeah,
and I know on my way home I'm going to be listening to R. Kelly.
But you still want to listen to the remix?
Pants oh, down, ignition.
You guys are. I hope you guys covered this at the release party.
Oh, you absolutely should, yeah.
Which one?
Oh my god. We've already tried like covering the Ting Ting. That's been like.
Me and Joe.
We didn't try it at all. We didn't try it at all.
For like 3 seconds. And yeah. I was like, cause we were going to play one song and we decided that it's the same thing the whole time. And then we tried to play this other one and I was like, shit, man, this is the same thing the whole time too. What's the point of this?
We should just cover what Chris wanted to cover.
What?
I told you I'm down.
What?
Well, Pearl Jam?
I'll fucking cover Pearl Jam, Jonathan. This fucking Pearl Jam's awesome.
Jeremy Smoker!
You're idiots.
You are gonna sit there and talk about Eddie Vedder's voice? Sing it the way you do? You're gonna talk shit about Eddie Vedder.
Yeah,
fuck you.
Okay,
but yeah, the Shins, I'm down for that.
It wasn't the Shins. I wanted to cover Me Without You. I've been a staunch supporter of us covering Me Without You.
That's Sacred Ground I Won't Touch.
Oh, dude, this might be your band.
It's just Sacred Ground I Won't Touch.
Whatever. We have a song called Dick Chicken. You won't touch that Sacred Ground covering Me Without You.
Yeah, that's Sacred Ground, a song that I don't want everyone to sing again either.
But it's called me knitting, masturbating.
You caught me knitting, masturbating.
Oh, but I can't cover Me Without You. You want to put that song in The Point.
That's me.
Yeah.
That was Joe. Yeah. Don't associate with me with The Point, okay?
Like, don't associate me with Joe.
Yeah.
This is a new record, though. I think this is set the most times Dick Chicken has been mentioned on the show. So.
Yeah.
So new podcast record, guys.
Well, can you have a Dick Chicken counter like
yeah.
on every podcast?
Yeah.
That one?
It should be like a drinking game. This episode of it. Take a shot.
There you go. You might put that in the beginning. Yeah. Get your bottles of tequila or whatever you like taking
Rock
shots of.
Right.
And take a shot for every time you hear the word Dick Chicken.
The word Dick Chicken.
The word
is one word.
The word Dick Chicken.
The word Dick Chicken.
Dick Chicken.
There's no space in between Dick Chicken. It's just straight Dick Chicken.
There's no space.
May I ask you, is it still one word if it's hyphenated?
And there's like a hype in between.
If a tree falls in the forest, guess what came first, the chicken or the egg?
I'm just saying, like, is it all?
Yeah, but I think there's actually an answer to what he's asking.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But like, is it still two words?
Yeah, I think it's just two words. It's just
what's the hyphen there for?
But if you had a hyphen in your last name, you'd be that annoying dude with two last names.
Yeah.
So it's two words.
That's names though, so that's different. This is.
Let's think of some hyphenated words.
Are there hyphenated
sub? Culture is how
you just said
right?
Hyphenated word. Like
no.
It would be okay if Dick Chicken had a
sub
hyphen,
sandwich.
It would be called
hyphen.
It's not hyphen.
Submarine.
Sub dash marine. He's like
subpar.
Not quite a marine.
Is subpar
hyphenated?
No, that's just.
I don't think so.
We're stupid.
I hope. I hope nobody listens. Oh, no. That's not bad. I want people to listen to it because it's your podcast, but I feel bad.
I hope it cut off after the first 10 minutes where all the important juicy shit's at, and then after this part, now it's just a ramble.
Like, I'm going to fast forward to the part where they talk about R. Kelly.
Yeah.
You fast forward to the good part.
Yeah.
But yeah, that makes me wonder though about the hyphenation though. You know what I mean? Because like,
man, I feel like you should wait until after the podcast to get like any grade school English book and figure this out. Like, I don't think we should be talking about this right now.
Okay,
I'm sorry, John. I'm sorry.
And this is okay. Okay. Maybe it was a serious question. Maybe they'll call.
I'm sorry.
Maybe a caller will call in.
Yeah, if you know the answer, feel free to tweet in or Facebook.
We don't have a Twitter.
Oh,
I was tweeting into the podcast.
Oh, fuck. Tweet into the podcast and be passed on. Or is there a hotline?
We can make one. Yeah.
That's what we should have done.
We should have.
Had we been smarter, we could have promoted this whole thing and then been like put out someone's number and like we can just like be live streaming right now via Facebook. Yes, start doing that. Start live streaming your podcast.
Yeah.
Fucking break down the fucking fourth wall.
But then he can't edit out the bullshit.
Right.
But you can't really.
He's trying to cut the fat. We've given him
so much fat.
Like, this is definitely like not that lean meat right here. This is not super fatty meat.
Not for the lean meat.
That should be our new band logo. Yeah.
Not your lean meat.
Super fatty meat.
Super fatty meat.
Family
meat. We have fucking elbows up. Super fatty meat.
618.
618.
AT.
Don't kill foxes.
618.
Yeah, don't kill foxes.
Well, follow these guys on Facebook. Check out The Truth Is I've Lost Touch with All Those Who Care About Me on familymedicine.bandcamp or iTunes or Tidal, you said?
Yeah.
Any of those things. And pre-order your copy of the vinyl record. And keep an eye out for a release party coming soon. Details to be announced. And we got June 19th at the Sinkhole. You can come out and hang out with these guys. I think that's about everything, guys, right?
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are all of our secrets.
That's all of them. All the secrets. But yeah, appreciate you guys
hanging out.
Thank
this
you. Has been awesome.
Yeah,
so
thanks.
Appreciate it. And I will see you guys
soon. Do this again in 15 years.
Yeah, podcast will still be going.
Joe will be dead.
Yeah.
I'll be like an amputee by then.
None of us will care.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out for the reunion tour, 20 years, coming soon.
It'll just be me.
All right, coming to a nursing home near you. Because we're old.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.
Hey, we're family.
You
suck, dude.